him this morning.
Oh, so good. Lady Pastor JB, good to be here. If I haven't met you, I hope before you leave today, I know I heard the one pastor say that he's got the most pressure because he's the only thing between you and lunch. So, you know, I'm not going to try to be that guy today. But, man, if I get a chance, love to meet you. Like you said, my name's Tyler Gerfers. I've got another group that's back home, the rest of my family. And I've got some pictures. And if you guys in the back, if y'all can just throw them up there whenever you get a chance, they can see. My wife, Bethany, my three daughters. We were at men's retreat, and he's right, man, it was incredible. I'm at a constant women's retreat at my house. so it was refreshing, man. It was good. It was good to be there. I didn't want to come home. It was good. No, but I love my family. And we have been serving with Chi Alpha. Let me back up. Chi Alpha served us because my wife and I both came to faith through Chi Alpha back in our days at Louisiana Tech University. So go Bulldogs. But now I'm a Warhawk, so it's a made-up bird. So now I'm all in there over at. Some of you still may call it Northeast if you keep up with the colleges, and that's perfectly fine. I'm not offended. I'm just there. But we are a product of missions. And when you talk about Speed the Light, we talk about BGMC, I'm standing here today because somebody believed in a missionary who reached this old boy and his wife, and now we have a family that's a family of missions. So we just thank you, church, for what everything he said this morning is. It makes the difference, and you're seeing it right here. But I'll say this, because of that, God did something in our lives, and you know, everybody thinks you have a plan, everybody thinks you're going to tell God, you know, your five-year plan and all that kind of stuff, you know, and I don't know why we feel like that's a good idea to sit God down and tell him the good news. He messed all that up for us, and he used our story, his story in our lives, to call us into missions. And so we've been there at ULM since 2013. We went there and re-pioneered the work there. And have been there ever since, and God has been so gracious. And so some of the pictures that they're showing you guys are just some of the things that we do on a regular basis, which we say it this way, that our core value is that our core values are that we know Jesus, that we really know him, that we live life together like family, like we really live life together, and that we take responsibility with this thing called the gospel, that we have been called and commissioned for making disciples who make disciples and to reach those who are not being reached. And on the college campus, I invite every one of you. This is a great, you know what? You never thought you'd be invited to another thing today other than just church. I invite you to come to campus. You come within the first 5 minutes. I promise you, you'll believe everything I'm saying. Because it is an incredible place to be where young people, and not just young people, staff, administrators, all over. It's a place where everything's being challenged, right? It's like the clay in the potter's hands of your years. You know, you're being formed. It has a way of doing things where, you know, we get discipled in the church. But, man, if that's not happening, the world will do it. You hear what I'm saying? And so, man, we're there as a voice of the Lord, gospel boots on the ground. And so we are out there reaching students there on the ground day by day, raising them up, sending them out, and doing the work of the ministry, having church on campus, doing missions overseas, and just believing that if you can reach one, you can really reach the many. We love it. We're kind of biased. We're like, Jesus had a small group, so we do small groups. You know, if you're not sure about small groups, that's what we do. But it's incredible time, and man, so I invite you to come out. I promise you, I'll even buy you lunch in the good old cafeteria. It's good. I'm telling you, it's good. I mean, you know, Golden Crow ain't got nothing on our cafeteria. I'm just going to tell you right now. So it's good. But, man, it has been just a journey, and we just continue to believe that God called us there. He's called us to do the work. And so we're gonna fight that with all what's in us. Today, I wanted you guys to know kind of what we're about because some people maybe never heard of Chi Alpha. But, man, we run deep. As a matter of fact, if you don't know, like I met Shane and Mandy years ago, and we talked about some stories of their days in Chi Alpha and what they did, and even today, how we're trying to, like our team, potentially, we're praying about Morocco with them, but our team, we were the first Chi Alpha to go to Vienna, Austria, to partner with that university of 120,000 students, where it's roughly 1-2% evangelical Christian. And so we're starting something believing that it's not just ULM, it's the world. And that, but through a small place, Can I say something like through a little small place in Spring Hill, you can reach the world? Through a small place like ULM in Monroe, Louisiana. We get Ulm, Germany a lot, but it really is ULM in Monroe, Louisiana. So it all works out. We're international whether we know it or not. But today I wanted to share this idea about the Father heart of God and how that really, really goes into what we're about. But also, I really believe it speaks to where we're at as a church today, where we're at as a society and a culture, and some of the things that we've stumbled upon. And it's always interesting to ask the why questions, right? If you're, I have a 5, 3, and 1 year old daughter, so I get the why question a lot. I live in the whys. I need more wisdom for the whys. little pun there. But seriously, we get places, we stumble across, whether it's a family, a marriage, a church, you name it. You want to know, how do we get here and why did we get here? But I think more importantly is to know, what are we going to do about it and why are we going to choose to do the things that we do? So there's a common question in Chi Alpha that we say for my students is, why do you do the things you do and who do you do them for, right? When you hear a church talk about missions, oh man, my heart starts beating, not because I'm a missionary, but because I serve a missional God. And the whole point of that is, man, you see a need that we've been called, that this is a global mission to reach all nations. That so all of a sudden, well, why do we do missions? Well, because we have a heart of the Father who wants to reach everyone. Now, let me just back up. We Spring Hill is a good starting point. You don't want to bypass your neighbor. You want to bypass your own family. And if you're like me, I grew up very unchurched in Houston, Texas. So my wife and I, when we come to faith and we get married, we know that, man, we've got to start at home. How good is it for the man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? I would dare to say forfeit his family, his spouse, and so on, so on. And so I think today when we're talking about this, I want you to really lock in with me. And we're going to talk a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about what I feel like God is saying to his church and to his people in for a time such as this. Now, I'm going to show you this picture here. This is me and one of my students, Becca, who just graduated. And she just graduated from ULM in the fall. And I've had her since she was a freshman. She was one of my students all the way through. And, you know, I'm about to be 31, which, man, when you start, like, you know, I've got a 5, 3, and 1 daughter, and I'm about to be 31, and I've got a lot of, you know, silver tips and things in my, you know, I tell people, I don't know if it's me getting, if it's stress or if I'm blessed. I don't know what it is, if I'm getting wiser or tired, or I don't know, whatever you call it, I'm it. But I am dad to most of these young people, 18, 19, which is kind of weird. So I'm like, I'm only 13, you know, 12 years older than you, you know, but I'm dad. Why? Because there's not been a male in their life to look them in the face and tell them anything that's worth listening to. You know, there's not a family. And we all, and if you don't know this, man, you hit the family, that's what hurts. You hear what I'm saying? And we see that time and time again. So I'm dad. And even to some of my guys, they don't have a male figure. I'm talking about when I was growing up, you know, I had a broken family, those kind of things. So my coaches were my dads. Oh, man, dude, they told me things that I thought I would never say again. And I don't, because I wasn't saved, neither were they. But there's some strong things that they did say that impacted me to this day. Because they looked at me in the face and they told me how it was. They spoke truth and love, really. A lot of love. A lot of truth, but we cut out the frou-frou. A lot of colorful things come out of people when they're not saved. But that what it is that I knew that that's what I had. But for my students and these young people coming on, oh, man, it's a game changer. All of a sudden, I'm dad. I'm the one they're looking for me, advice. It's kind of silly when you say it out loud and slow, but Rachel, who calls me the other day, and she's like, my tires are low. Okay, that's cool. Oh, you want me to come and, like, you need help? Oh, why do you say so? Oh, I'm like, I didn't want to, but I'm calling. You know, it's like, oh, step number one. Okay, good, you made the call. I'm like Ghostbusters here. But it's powerful. So then all of a sudden, what I do, and you may learn this, you may have already learned this, but what you say carries weight, and what you do carries weight. And we know that people are watching. And we say that, and it's now they're not only watching, they're gonna post it. But the real thing is that you don't realize how leaned in that person is. They're not looking for a show. They're looking for what to do. They're looking for answers. They're looking for love. They're looking for affirmation. They're looking for where they belong and all these things. Boom, 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 boom. Because when you don't have family, when you don't have a father heart of God in your home, when you don't understand this thing called the church and community and this thing called the kingdom of God, you lose all that. You lose all that. And so today, when we're talking about this, there's a very powerful passage here. In Romans 8, and the reason I show you Becca is because Becca is one of mine. She's single family home. I actually got to meet her biological dad at her graduation. It was weird, you know, because it's like, I've been with her for 4 years, and I've never met this man, but he's at her graduation. They're working through things, you know, because let me tell you something, even for myself, I wasn't raised by my mom and dad. I have biological parents who are around somewhere, but I'm still their son, and Becca, that's kind of the things we talked about, is that, you know, you're still the daughter. You know, you can't control him, but man, you can control you. And you can make some choices and decisions. And if you experience that father heart of God, you experience that love of Christ we talk about, we worship about, but man, you don't extend that to him. Oh man, what does that say? What does that say? And so this passage here in Romans that we're going to look at is exactly what this where this tension lies and what we're going to talk about. Romans 8, 14 through 17, if you want to follow with me, it says this: for those who are led by the Spirit of God and the children of God, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, or as I like to say to my students, as sons and daughters. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, and heirs of God, and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Let's pray. Father, we pray today, Lord God, that you would just simply open us up, God. Meet us where we're at, every one of us individually, as a corporate fellowship, as your people, as your church. God, to tap into what the Spirit is speaking and saying on each of our behalves. And Lord, that you begin to rise up in us faith, that you'd rise up in us, God, your spirit that would fill us, and that we would walk away today, Lord God, empowered by you, Lord, to be the people you called us to be, God, and to go out and affect change the way that you, Jesus, did from the very beginning. And so, Lord, we pray that you be with us this service. God, have your gracious hand upon every one of us. And Lord, let us draw near to you and near to your heart and your mission. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen. So man, I love this passage of scripture. I love it. When we I really have to, you know, my translation says sonship. I really throw in there sons and daughters on campus because ULM is about 70-75% female. So the Lord knew what he was doing. He gave me three daughters. You know, he's working all things out. You know, there's always a trial and a test somewhere. But it's good. It's good. I grew up one of five, three brothers. I mean, it's like God has a sense of humor. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. But it's great. It's great. I'm learning so much. But it's incredible because we say things, but we all know that they don't mean the same for everyone. We can say father, and for some people that's a cuss word. We can say sons and daughters. Some people, that's a burden. We can say all these things. And so what's powerful about when we read these scriptures and we go, man, what is God talking about? Who is God? What is his heart on the matter? Where is the tension here? Where do you fit in here? And so what I say today to you, church, is that when we think about this and we think about the Father heart of God, we understand that there is this wonderful story of adoption. There's this wonderful story how at one time you and I were not in the family. And I'll tell you this, for me it rings very true because I was born, by my two biological parents. I was raised by my Nana. Thank God for Nanas. Thank God for Nanas. For the first 10 years. And then my aunt and uncle, my mama's sister, raised me from I was 10 till now. So my life has been adoption, whether I've liked it or not. I didn't see it as a very heavenly adoption, not knowing the Lord for 18 years. But nonetheless, it's near and dear to me. And it's amazing how the Lord can take you through something like that. And then once you find him, he can redeem all that. It's not in vain. It's redeemed, just like you and I. And so when we look at this and we say, wow, wow, and we're going to hone in on verse 15 today. And it says this, it says, the spirit you received is... not make you slaves so that you may live in fear again. I say it this way, church, that there is a fear of being unaccepted in the current generation that is perpetuated by society and possibly us, the church. That we as God's people are responsible to people to make sure they know that they are accepted and loved. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes we get it confused, right? We're trying to speak for God instead of working with God. Because if I take my life and I take your life and we do a little story, there was a time when you felt loved and unaccepted. There was a time when you didn't know God. There was a time when you weren't really sure about life. And I know for me that was very true, 18 years of that. So the difference was when a guy by the name of Trace came into my life and just asked me if I would want to come into his and be a part of what he was doing, and then day after day just loving, accepting, listening, learning, praying when I was there, when I wasn't there. I didn't know anything. All of a sudden, I belonged to Trace because he became my best friend, and then my best friend introduced me to the one that called me friend long ago, Jesus. But it's amazing how it took the middleman. And it took the middleman of another man named Jesus. See, you got to know a guy. Everywhere you go, you got to know a guy. Got to know a guy at the store, got to know a guy to get into heaven. I mean, there really is this middleman. And you and I need to be that for somebody. And in Chi Alpha, we say it this way, you belong. It's very simple. It's not meant to be catchy. It's not meant to be showy. It's a statement. You belong. I know that growing up, seeing the brokenness of my family and my grandmother and her children, how no matter what her kids did, and one of those was my mama, and I know all what she's done and doing today, it never has changed that statement from my Nana to my mama. That no matter how bad she's gotten, no matter how far she's gone away, she has never deviated from those two words from my mama, that she belongs. That she wants her home, that she wants her right here by her. But yet, if we're not careful, we have found ourselves perpetuating a story of, I don't want you here. I'm not sure about you. And I know for me, and don't get me wrong, church, we practice wisdom in my family. I've got three daughters. There's some people that have done some things in my family that I really have to be careful about what I do. But as far as my soul to their soul, I know that God loves them just as much as he loves me. And that they belong, that God wants them just as much as he wants me too. And if we're not careful, we'll come up with a mindset and a heart set of, well, they're not worthy. They don't belong. What are they going to do to get in here? See, and we could say this all day. We say, I'm not in charge of heaven. I'm not God. I'm not in charge of their eternity. I said responsible to, not responsible for. I'll let God do what he does. I'll do what I want. I'll do what God wants me to do, to love people. The Bible says that you kindness unto repentance. There's a lot in there about what people do that dictates what we can do, but there's a lot more to say we've got a choice to do the right thing. And when we say you belong, we say it in Chi Alpha because we have students that come in, they have no frame of reference. They just know that they're looking for people, they're looking for friendship, they're looking for something that they don't even know what they're looking for. 18 years old, you get to start over. Boop. It's great. It was great for me. I could be who I wanted to be. And nobody knew, especially for me. I was from Texas. I went to Louisiana. No, I didn't know a soul. I was the Lone Ranger, literally. I was looking for Tonto every day. But here's the reality. You give them the grace and space to come and to belong. It's amazing what can happen in that person's life to where they understand, if I'm going to belong in this thing called the kingdom of God, then there's one way. There's one way to belong for sure in that, in this kingdom, and it's through Jesus. But if I keep them out and I don't let them belong in my life, I'm not sure if they'll ever get there. I'm not sure if they'll ever get there. So I believe, my conviction, church, is that we, if we're not careful, we've created this attitude or this response where young people especially, they don't know. They don't belong at home. They don't belong at school. They don't belong. So where do they belong? And we wonder why they are the way they are. And so my challenge to you is that I want to make sure that I'm setting the example for my girls. I want to set the example for my students. I want to set the example for my peers. Hey, man, let's talk about how we're treating people. Let's talk about what's going on at your job. Let's talk about what's going on every time you go to Walmart and you're about losing your religion before you get into the door. Let's talk about all the day-to-day things that go on. And is this statement part of your life? Or is it just a catchy phrase? Like hallelujah. Like praise the Lord. What about you belong? In John 14, 6 and 7, it says this. And Jesus said to them, I said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Again, church, what I said a minute ago, let me reiterate this. The Father reveals through Jesus that he is the only way. You and I are not the way. But oftentimes we live like we are the way. I'm telling myself right now, okay? When you get up behind one of these bad boys every week, you can get caught up on thinking you're the way. If they don't respond the way I want them to respond, if they don't do the things that I tell them they should do, they may not know God. That's a hard place to be. It's a very hard place to be. It's a very hard place to be for mom and dad of three girls. I'm going to tell you, it's especially 5, 3, and 1. They're the hardest. They gang up on you. They're like a little pack. You know, one at a time is better. However, that does not mean that we're the way and that we have to pull away from fear and push grace. What I'm telling you, church, today is that when it talks about this, is that there is such a fear that is bound up in so many people, young and old, of I'm not really sure what the next step is. I'm not really sure how to handle this situation. I'm not really sure. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen it. I don't have all the answers for my kids. My kids ask more questions than the instructions said they came with. It's like you are not allowed that many questions in a day. You're not allowed to have questions that are used that many words at one time. You know? Off and off, on. Those are good questions, you know? I mean, but you know what's amazing about the scripture, what it says? It says that love covers a multitude of sins. That includes mine. I don't have the answers, God. I don't know what I'm doing. But man, I'm going to love my kids so much, they're never going to doubt it. I'm going to make sure my kids know they belong right here. I love asking questions back. I'm like, okay, you like to ask questions? I like to ask questions too. You know, we do a little tit for tat here. I asked my oldest, Della, said, well, what's your favorite color? What do you like to do? What's your favorite food? What's your favorite time of the day, morning, day, or night? She goes, spending time with you, Daddy. Maybe you can ask me whatever you want. We can go anywhere you want. You know, you can just roll it out. But you know what's amazing to me? She gave me a response I didn't ask for. I gave her 3 options, and she gave me her heart. And my challenge to you is that if we're not careful, church, in this house, my prayer is that every one of us can have that answer with our Heavenly Father. And my prayer is that every one of us in this house, when we begin to talk to one another, when we begin to engage with one another, we begin to live life together right here at Community Church, and in your own families that are not here, to the people that need to be in these empty seats. Whenever we're engaging, that we understand that we're going to push away fear. We're going to pull away from fear, but we're going to push grace. We're going to push love. We're going to do something that says they don't have a doubt in their mind that they belong here. I've got students every year, you know what? It's high risk, high reward. They're in for maybe 1, 2, 3, at best 4 years, and they're gone. I live with goodbye and hello on my tongue on a regular basis. Now, I don't get this, hopefully it's less goodbyes and more see you laters. And it's me sending them out, and they're going places that the Lord has done and shown them. But let me tell you something. There does come a time for me and for all of us that we have to understand that we have a responsibility to people. And that we're not guaranteed the next day. We're not guaranteed the next moment. We don't know what's going to happen. And so what I tell you is this, is that don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the grace that God is asking you to give. I know that you and I have been in places where we've prayed and we've almost been afraid to ask God for his grace in moments of weakness. That we've been afraid to approach the throne of grace. There's been times in this, I'm sure in your own circles, but in this church, I want to challenge you today that, man, that we would embrace this. That this would be something to where no matter what we do and what you do on a regular basis, the culture of this church says that we're going to make sure that people know they belong. They're going to know that they loved, that they're accepted. So here's my simple question. How are you making sure that people know that they're loved? How are you making sure? What are you doing? I love my coach. One of the things he said, I've said it to this day, and I'll probably say it the rest of my life. There is no I in team, but if I don't do my job, my team loses. There's a personal responsibility on every one of us. Together, I makes we, and we are the church. So here today, I want to challenge you that you, a lot of yous, make up a we. But if you don't do your job, if you don't play your part, then we won't move together. The second part of that verse in 15, it says, rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. Here's what I would say, church. We tend to forget where we come from. And we need to understand there are no orphans in the kingdom of God, yet we treat people as if God may not want them. That we tend to forget where we've come from. Let me tell you something. When I talked about, I wasn't legally adopted, but a lot of people passed me around. That does something to a young man. When you're not sure where you belong, when you're not sure, are you lovable? Well, you're not sure if you're ever going to find the family that you've always wanted. And you know what's so sad? And I was so deprived. I mean, I didn't know the Lord, and my family was, my aunt, uncle, and their kids were dealing with their thing, and it's incredible. But there was times there was tension where I would stay there, and it's like I was there, but I wasn't there. And it wasn't their fault. There was times where we would get in arguments, and they would say, her, my aunt or my uncle, that this isn't a hotel, this is our home, and you need to be a part of it. I said, I know, I'm trying. At 10, 11, 12 years old, I'm trying. It wasn't their fault, it wasn't my fault. But it didn't change the fact that I wasn't sure. I didn't know. I was hurting. And when you go through that, and then I find the Lord, by the grace of God, a little freshman punk kid in Ruston, Louisiana, you don't forget those moments. You don't forget where you came from and how the Lord's hand was just kind of on you the whole time. And he got you, and you finally found your family. You finally found the people. You finally found the family of God. The one, you finally realized that you had a Heavenly Father the whole time longing to be with you. All of a sudden, it's a game changer. Your life is radically changed. But for us, church, many, many, many of us forget where we come from. We forget our early years. We forget the struggle. Now, we don't forget the struggle as in how we personally have overcome, but we forget how that's possible for someone else. We forget how what God did in my life, he can do in someone else's life. You know, it goes back to me saying, well, God did it, and man, God's been good, but all of a sudden now the question is, well, who got you there, though? You got to know a guy. See, I had a guy named Trace. Who did you have? Somebody, even in that, somebody said something. Somebody was there, even when you didn't want them there. Somebody was around, and some of them may still be around. But who is that person, and who were you being for someone else? And so when that happens, when we do this, when we forget where we come from, when we're not sure, when we, and I think it's beautiful to focus on the future that God has for us all. I think that's beautiful. But I think that wisdom says that we ought to understand that while there was hurt, there still is hurt in front of us, but it's with all these other people that we're living this life with. This world is not yet saved. The kingdom of God has not yet come. And one way I would say this, and I do say it, is orphan spirit. It's something very powerful, and it's antithetical to the gospel, to this father heart of God, but it's something I believe that is very true in our churches, in our culture, our societies, in our homes. And I've talked about it, I've alluded to it, but that there's this idea that the struggle of young people, and you see it. Most people, you know, we throw our hands up at young people. And I'm not here, I'm not an attorney for young people. As a matter of fact, I'm the old guy now, actually. I found that out recently. I was humbled by my students. That's the benefit of young people. They'll put you in your place, including my daughters. But the reality is, like, there's such a struggle to know mom and dad. There's a struggle to know what am I supposed to be doing? Who am I? What does the world want from me? And all these things. And some of them sound very silly. And it's like you let them talk till they're tired. And then you say one word or two words. And their life, you know, they get wide-eyed. That's young people, though. That's what I did. Because I didn't have anything before. I didn't even have someone to talk to. See, there's this idea of that an orphan is someone who doesn't have a family, but they're always hearing the word family tossed around. They go somewhere for a little bit, and then all of a sudden they're kicked back out. So don't tell them family, because they don't want to hear that, because it doesn't mean much. Kind of sounds like Jesus for some people. Don't tell me about Jesus, because I've tried him. The other thing is that you're looking for an identity. You're trying to find out, well, if no one loves me, then who am I, or who am I supposed to be? What do I have to do to get someone's approval and to belong to somebody, somewhere? Or if it's even spiritually, we're in church and you have people that are around and they're doing great things, they're serving, they're stacking chairs, they're fixing meals, they're helping people and do tasks, but all of a sudden at the end of the day, they're not really sure if anybody cares about them. They're just a doer. They've lost their being in the midst of their serving. And if you go further and further, and so you, all of a sudden you just see this unravel. Young people today, they say, they're the greatest generation. They're so talented. They're so gifted. But they don't have heart, because no one has nurtured that thing for all this time. They've been so focused on, well, this will give me the attention. This will get me to the next job, maybe. This will get me somewhere. But you know what? At the end of the day, all that comes crashing down. You've been there. I've been there. And they don't have heart. And you wonder why, and I'm not going to get into this, but it is true. Suicide is a regular conversation on my campus. It's either I failed at it, I'm thinking about it, or it happened on a regular basis. I have to be careful not to become numb to the topic. But you know why? It's this orphan spirit I'm talking about. If nobody will do it, if nobody will take me, I'll just take myself out. I just won't be a burden anymore. I'll just try. It sounds illogical, because it is. They're like, well, maybe if I do this and it doesn't work, at least I'll know. And you know, I've always wondered, what would be that next thought of that person if we could get it from them? What would it be? Because I know for me, I've done many things that by the grace of God, I came out on the other side of that I shouldn't have, or I didn't get the repercussions I did. And I'm like, whoo, man, I am an idiot. Like, that was close.
But for so many of us, and I believe in our churches, I believe this is true. And if it and at one time, and I'm an old soul. I drink black coffee 5 times a day. I was raised by my Nana for my first 10 years. I love it. I really do. But I didn't grow up in church. But even not growing up in church, I had respect for the church. Even not growing up in church, there was this idea that a reverence, that there, I didn't understand anybody's religion or anybody's book or anybody's God. I just knew that it was out there, and you didn't hold that against people, and you surely didn't. I remember one time my friend Will Scabora, he invited me to one of our friends was playing in a worship band, and they had all these different worship bands playing at a church, kind of like a tour inside the church. And I thought, well, I mean, I'll go support Trevin. You know, it's no big deal. Where's it at? Oh, gosh. You know, I'm thinking they're going to get weird on me. You know, I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was a high school kid. So I went, and they stamped my hand because you had to pay to get in. It was a fundraiser or whatever. Well, I had this bad habit of like wiping my nose like at the tip right here, and then somebody's Trevin's mom comes up and she's like, Tyler, what happened? I was like, what? And I look like I've been like using charcoal on my face basically. I got all this black stuff. Like I've been sitting too close to the fire or something. It's like it's just bad. And I was like, son of a. Anyway, I mean, I said some choice words. I'm just being honest with you. I'm telling myself. And then Will's like, Tyler, you can't say that in church. I was like, oh. And then, it was a bad thing of events. You know, it's just one of those things. But that's kind of how it was. And that's even then, I knew that it wasn't right. But even in those days, but now, not so much. The church has kind of lost its position a little bit. And I don't have one, I'm not gonna point the finger at any one thing or I'm just going to talk about the reality. But I wonder why or if some of this orphan spirit inside the house fleshes its way out into the world. Well, we're not really the church. We're not really sure where we fit in and where we belong and how this thing. And I say, well, whatever questions you're asking, do the people outside, when they come in, do they have answers? If you're not sure where you belong, do the people that come inside this church know where they belong? Do they feel their love here? Do they feel the things that we talk about, that we want to talk about? We can talk about them all day long. But if someone comes in and says, man, that church is rude, I want to know that. I want to know that. By the way, this church is not rude. Very sweet church. I love it. Very family-oriented. I mean that. But even our Chi Alpha, I do that. I say, look, can we get some people in here that aren't saved? And I'm like, I'm not trying to get them saved like I do want them saved, but I'm not trying to make a deal here. I'm saying I want to know that we are who we say we are. I want to know when we say that you belong, that it's actually felt across the room. I want to know, you know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Man, that's not a buffet like pick and choose. It's, man, it needs to be there. If the Spirit of God is alive and well in you and me, it ought to be there. And that's what we want to know. But you don't know. And I think this is part of where we're at. There's two scriptures here. Matthew 16, 24, 25, it says, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. And then Mark 14, 36 says, and Jesus was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but you will. Well, I'm going to list a few things here. It says this, orphans fight, adopted sons surrender. Orphans compare, adopted sons celebrate. Orphans fear, adopted sons love. Orphans test, adopted sons trust. Orphans hurt, adopted sons heal. Here's my question, church. Do you as an individual, do you as a church claim your adoption but still live as an orphan? And what are you doing to build sons and daughters in the faith? Because there are no orphans in the kingdom. Once you've experienced adoption, your heart for adoption rises up. And spiritually, we've got to get back to a place, church, we understand that there are not yet adopted sons and daughters in this world. There are not yet adopted sons and daughters right here in Spring Hill, in the greater area of this region and around the world. There are not yet, they're not yet saved. They're not yet born again. I don't want to say, I don't even want to talk about what they're not. I'm going to say what they're not yet. Because somehow, in some way, it builds a little bit of faith, not just in me, but my students around me, my leaders that are fighting for those people, my students that are having lunches and meals and spending time with them and listening. Do you know this? I tell my students all the time, whoever spends the most time with someone will win that person. You spend quality time with somebody, you listen, you really get in their life, you start serving, you start helping them, you start being a part of them, you're going to win that person over. They're going to be wide open because you've created relational equity. You've created a bridge in their life that's so strong that whenever you have to walk across that thing with those hard questions, it's going to hold up. See, a lot of times we ask hard questions before we even have anything to walk on. And I do believe what I'm saying, that the Holy Spirit can do whatever he wants to do. I believe that God can do, he can touch somebody in the worst places. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that's God doing that. You hear what I'm saying? That's the Holy Spirit doing that. And hopefully you and I are being sensitive to that. And we're not saying, all right, God, here you go. All right, God, bam. Sometimes we understand the exception is not the norm. But do you claim your adoption? See, when we tell students all the time, I say, look, man, here's the thing. Jesus has already made up his mind about you. Isn't that wonderful? He's already signed the line on his adoption paper. Yours is blank. Yours is blank. He's asking, are you willing to accept him as Lord? That's the way you're going to be in this family, in this kingdom of God. He's already signed his. He's not waiting on you one iota. His love is not going to be separate based on your signature. It's there. It's established. But for you to know the Father, for you to truly understand this thing called life and life to the full, for you to experience the grace and mercy of God, you got to sign the dotted line. Adoption complete. But then as that happens, as you and I experience that, we need to be in the adoption business. We got to start enrolling ourselves in some adoption business. I'll be honest with you, my wife, I told somebody, they said, oh, three girls, man, you got to try for another one. I said, let me tell you something, brother, because you know as a man, I said, my quiver is full. It's 3-bed, 2-bath. And if I have sons, they'll be son-in-laws, okay? And I got plenty of spiritual sons on campus. So you just leave that. You just take that on back wherever you came from. But there is a part of me that says, Tyler, why don't you adopt? There is a little part of me that's like, why don't you adopt? Five siblings, actually. The oldest is Patrick. He was legally adopted because young parents, they knew they couldn't take care of him. Boom. Right when he was born, adopted. I come in years later, I'm pseudo-adopted. I just move in. Keep your doors locked, folks. Then they had the twins, Kevin and Keith. Miracle babies. Preemies. Super preemie. Like Kevin, Keith. And then my baby half-sister from my mom comes in, crack baby, miracle of God that she's even living and breathing to this day. And they show up one day and say, well, you're the nearest of kin. Can you just hold her for us? The state's talking here. Can you just hold her for us? My aunt, uncle, can you just hold her until we get the stuff sorted out? All before that, it was, we can't take her. We can't do this. I'm telling you, we just can't. We can't. They come in with that baby, 3 months old, was as white as paper up here. No color, no love, nothing. Flathead from the carrier. My uncle jumped and said, we'll take her. She'll stay here. And we're going to start the adoption process as soon as you give us the green light. You hear what I'm saying? So we make the joke that, you know, only one pregnancy, 5 kids, you know, you do pretty good, you know, but not all at one time, you know. So, I mean, there are other ways, folks. But adoption is in you. It's going to work through you. And we as a church, when we say you're a missions church, that's what you're saying. You're saying, man, I've been adopted. I'm ready to adopt some people in the faith. I'm ready to fight for some people. I'm going to close with this. Go. When he says that, he says, and in him, we cry, Abba, Father. We, again, I say, is made up of sons and daughters, and the father heart of God is revealed by the family of God. So, church, what you need to understand is when we come together, that's how the world will know. What did Jesus say? He said, the world will know your mind by the way that you love one another. So when we come together, we embody and embrace the Father heart of God to treat each other as family and not just to talk about it. But the world's confused when we look and they look and see a family of orphans praising God the Father. What kind of family do you want to be known as? Are you embracing the Father heart of God for yourself and with others? Simple. It's simple. But what kind of family? What do you want to be known as? You're not proving anything. But if you know where you come from, you know who Jesus is. What do you mean known by? It says, Jesus said this, said that you will that you will bear fruit and fruit that lasts. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Let me close with this picture too, that you'll see this. This is on the far right there. That's Caitlin. Caitlin adopted and raised Becca, who I showed you at the beginning. Becca adopted and raised Elizabeth on the other side. And Elizabeth adopted and raised Nia, who she's wearing a towel. That's not her wardrobe. That's because she just got water baptized last year. And she's now serving as student leader. And together, to this day, they are crying, Abba, Father. If you go to the next one, I'll show you this. On the left and right there, what you're seeing is you're not going to see Becca in those two pictures because Becca's no longer in their small group. That's Elizabeth and Nia who water baptized Zaria and Summer this year. And that's their life group of ladies that live life together. They read the Bible together. They pray together. They cry together. All because someone adopted them and raised them. In church, that is the Father heart of God, that every one of us is in the business of adoption, that we would rebel against the orphan spirit, but that we would cry out, Abba, Father, every one of us, so that we all would do the same. Two challenges today. If I don't know, does anybody come up and play worship real quick? It won't be long, just a few minutes just to pray. Sorry I didn't clear that up before. We're family. Thanks, Brittany. Two things I want to challenge you today. Have you accepted your adoption by God? Have you truly accepted it? And what I'm asking is, don't live as an orphan anymore. Don't cry out for Jesus, but then still have this orphan spirit of struggling and trying to find your place in the way we treat people, the way that we hurt, the way that we involve ourselves. Understand that Jesus, for who he is truly the only way. That you can't do enough. You can't create, you can't be your own man or your own woman. But that you've got to find yourself in a place that says, Jesus, I'm signing the dotted line. You're Lord, you're Savior, and you're in my life. That's the gospel. The second thing is this, is that are you living with an orphan spirit or with the Father heart of God? That as a believer, don't find yourself, don't get caught up in just sitting back and saying one day something's going to break. Something's going to break loose. Something's going to happen. One day, no, today, you know what I love about the Bible? It says today is the day of salvation. That day is every day. Can I tell you that, church? It's not just this one-time experience. It's every day you wake up. It's, oh my goodness, God, you're good. Today is the day of my salvation. Because guess what? I was saved yesterday. I'm going to be saved today too. And the Bible also says that you would work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So I want to challenge you. If today is your day, and yesterday was your day, today is your day, work it out by fighting for the orphans. That we would fight for those not yet adopted sons and daughters in this world. Some of you, that's at home. Right there, right in front of your family. Some of you, that's at work. Some of you, that's in the community. Some of you, that's people that you have a relationship with, some kind of friendship with. There is always somebody, and there's always somebody waiting for that one person. Mine was Trace. Who will you be to somebody that they were to you? Let's pray today. Father, we thank you that you are a missional God, that you are a father to the fatherless, that you are one that takes our orphan spirit away, that you adopted us in, that you bring us in through Jesus, and that we call upon his name and we say, Lord, here I am. And that, God, in that same moment, God, you have this loving embrace. I'm reminded of the prodigal son that when he realized what he had done and where he had been, he repented and that he went back to the Father, but every day he was looking for his son. And that today there are people looking for that loving embrace. And who should go but us, Lord? That as we've been adopted, that we would go and fight for those that are not yet in the kingdom of God. That's the mission of you, Lord. That's the mission in each and every one of us. That today would be our day of salvation, and today would be the day for someone else, and that we would be there for them. God, I pray today, Lord God, for those that are struggling in their lives, Lord God, with you. God, that still take on this characteristic of an orphan struggling to know where they belong, struggling to know where the true love is, struggling to know what to do. God, they would rest in you. That, Lord, your word says that if we'll seek you, we will find you. And Lord, that you are with us every step of the way. And that this place, Community Church, would be a place where they know that they can come, they can be a part of, that they know they belong here, they know this is family, and they know that there's something powerful about the Spirit of God moving here, not just on a service, but throughout the relationships with the people who call us family. And Lord, I pray for those, God, that are in a place where they've lived life, young, old, it doesn't matter, but that we have found ourselves in a place where we've forgotten where we've come from, and that we need to say, Lord, forgive me, and that today I want to be the missionary. I want to be the one that goes and fights for the orphans, for the not yet adopted ones. Lord, help us, give us the strength. Lord, your word says that when we're weak, yet you are strong. And today, God, that you would empower each and every person in the house today. That there is no I in team, but that if I don't do my job, my team, our church, our family, the mission of God is at hand, is at stake. And so, Lord, let that be true here in the house. Let it be true in the hearts. Let it be true in Spring Hill. Let it be true beyond here, around the globe. Whatever it is that you have in front of us, Lord, let us think about those who are not yet in the kingdom as sons and daughters, and that we would have the Father heart of God in all that we do and all that we say. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, you're good.